News with Nick. It's a recording of a show called News with Nick for September 18th, 2021. Not streaming, right? So we are not live. However, you can check out the video version of the show at newswithnick.com and click on the episodes and go check out the episodes. It's been several weeks. Yep, definitely. I don't release stuff very often and I don't even have much prep, right? Just wanted to check in with everyone and say, how you doing? It's me. I exist. And the reason I haven't recorded is because I'm too busy being super rich, right, everyone? That's what happens when you time the top at 62,800, right? Just kidding. I'm poor. So, yeah, I sold my house in April, and I moved to a lake, right? So I've been living on a lake for a bit, and it's becoming the end of summer, so I'm looking for a new house. Have you got any clues? Because I don't want to be here when the ice comes up, the dock cracks it open and gets into the house. All right, whatever. So that's my life, chilling on a lake, paddleboarding every single day, fighting the mice, just like the old house, but you know, at least they're not my mice now. At least they're a landlord's mouse. And I'm really enjoying not owning any property. That was not fun. Remember when I got here on the show? Guys, update. I have no roof anymore. Last night it rained and I have no roof. And so I barely even have a second floor ceiling anymore. So that was fun. And I've also not been particularly well with the state of the world. And I know that I am supposed to be your support. And for all the listeners that still listen whenever I release something, that means a lot to me. There's not that many, let's be honest. But those that do check it out, I appreciate it. And I know that I'm supposed to be the one coming on here and telling you it's going to be okay. Look how funny the world is. And look how much nothing matters and everything's going to be fine. Right? It's funny to think about going to concentration camps. So that's what I figure is, even if you guys aren't listening now, September 18th, 2021, hopefully when they put me in a camp, right, which is coming, that people will look back and go, wow, we really miss Nick. Let's go back on the website and we'll listen to some old shows with him and see how funny he was. And he'll go, wow, he really was funny and really underappreciated. Guess no one will ever get to hear another video or a show from him again because now he's in a camp. December 2020. Joe Biden on BBC.com says COVID vaccinations in the U.S. will not be mandatory. President-elect Joe Biden says Americans won't be forced to take a coronavirus vaccine when one becomes available. This comes as the nation's health protection agency for the first time urged universal mask use indoors, apart from when Americans are at home. The CDC said it had entered a phase of high-level transmission of the virus. This is December 2020. Joe Biden says, COVID vaccination in the U.S. will not be mandatory. This from 2 weeks ago. My message to the unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. Right? I said this was coming, folks. Just going to be a couple businesses. They're going to say you got to prove that you're vaccinated. Now it's just going to be bars and restaurants in New York City. Now it's bars and restaurants in LA County. And then Joe Biden goes on TV and says, actually, I'm going to make it so that every company that's big, over 100 employees, which by the way, why draw the stupid line at 100 employees? Are they just saying that, okay, businesses that have over 100 employees must have the means to check people's vaccination statuses and prove them, right? I suppose that makes sense, because if you go to mom and pop Joe's garage, and it's just Joe, and then they hire some random guy from the street, Randy. Mom and Joe aren't going to be checking Randy's vaccination status, right? So Joe Biden goes on TV, like a good dictator should, and says, everyone who works for a company will have to be vaccinated or tested every day. Okay, well, it hasn't come through yet because I still keep going to work. But this is why I'm not well, you guys. Every week I learn of a new place that I can't go and a new thing that I can't do. And people who are pro-vax, pro-mandatory vaxes, I suppose, would be like, yeah, that's what you get for not having taken the vaccine. Like, I don't want to take it. I don't want to risk that I'm sick for 2 days or a day or whatever it is. Now, some people get this vaccination and they say, that was completely fine. And then some people take the vaccination and tell me, I thought I was dying for a day and now I'm fine. Like, well, I don't want to feel like I'm dying for a day. And also, the fact that you guys keep offering me $100 to take this shot seems real sketch. So I keep just like, again, I'm not refusing. Just haven't gotten around to it. Okay. So I don't know what's going to happen. Every day I get up and I'm like, is this going to be the day my security badge at work doesn't work anymore because they're mad at me for something I did? I'm spoken to almost every day about not covering my dumb face. Now, I have a job where I interact with many people. If you have a computer, I interact with you. And unless I'm walking the halls where the security cameras are, I, for the most part, have sat in my office unface masked. And the rule at our work, for whatever reason, is face mask, even though there's a vaccine. This is never ending, right? There's no finish line anymore. The finish line was always the vaccine. Other than 15 days to slow the spread, there was always the cutoff that we'll get to the vaccine, people will take it, and then you're protected. And no need to wear this dumb mask that offers, I don't know, let's say masks do something. Let's say they do 50% protection. That's a high amount. My grandma got COVID through two masks. She wasn't wearing two, but the other person was. And so let's say the mask does something. The vaccine does way more. So why can't the people who want to be protected just take the, I know that I'm saying stuff that everyone's already said. Just take the vaccine. You're good. I don't have to. I'm good. We're both good. I saw someone riding a bike today with a mask downtown. I'm going to do it someday. Like a crazy person, I'm going to go, what are you doing? Answer me. What are you doing? Run after them. I'm a pretty fast runner, so I'll just be like, what are you doing? That's probably legally harassment. Right, okay. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Every day, I wonder, will today be the day that security meets me in the lobby and says, Nick, you have to promise that you're going to wear that mask 24/7 in that office or you're not coming in. And I probably wouldn't promise, right? The head people of the health team have come up and been like, you got to do it. And I'll be like, I'll do my best. Like, we really don't want to get you in trouble. I'm like, well, if you do, you do. Right? Because my company, my local branch of this company doesn't make the rules either. They're beholden to the overlords, right? So if the overlords then say vaccines or weekly testing, I don't know. This is getting nuts. Now, many people will say, we've required vaccines for all sorts of things. We've required vaccines to go to school. You've required vaccines to go in the army. You're required to follow all sorts of rules. You're required to follow food safety rules in restaurants. You're required to check IDs for people being over 21. What's the difference? And I go, I don't know. Is there a difference? For some reason, this feels different. For some reason, having to whip out a medical piece of paper and prove that you've had a shot in your arm to go to a bar feels different. And it feels a little police state-y. and I underestimate a little. Right? People who don't think that it's a little police state-y, what would be the line where it's a police state? When it's the actual police and not the bar owner? Because it's going to be the actual police soon. I don't know if it's going to be the TSA or what. If they ban me from flying, I also don't know what I'm going to do. That would real suck. That would really be upsetting. But it's going to be the real police soon. And then what is it? Is it a police state yet? Or is it still for your safety? Because you people realize that the police state will never come about if everyone thinks it's a police state. Right? Like if the cops are walking the streets going, let me see your paperwork proving that you're not Mexican, right? That would get too much pushback. But if they've got the buy-in from the people saying, it's the scary virus, then the police state will come. And the government never gives back the power, right? That's why we have had to oppose it constantly. You know, maybe though, it won't matter. Maybe we will all get the shot and we'll look back 10 years from now and go, remember when we were all worked up over that vaccine? That's nothing compared to whatever they come up with next. Because rest assured, they're coming up with something next. That's nothing compared to, having to log in to the government-issued VPN to get online, right? Because the cyber attacks are coming. There's going to be so many cyber attacks. We can't stop cyber attacks. So in order to have internet in the U.S., you have to log in to our government VPN. So all of your traffic just goes through all our servers. It's for your safety. If your internet traffic doesn't go through our servers, it's scary out there. You know who's most at risk for online scams? Grandmas. You might not be at risk. But for the safety of your grandma, you want your grandma scammed? If you don't want your grandma scammed, and I don't want my grandma scammed, you will sign up for the government VPN so that all of our traffic will be monitored and made sure it's safe. Guys, I just made that up on the spot here. That was not in my notes, but that feels like a real good comparison to what's happening here. Imagine the government VPN that was out there to protect your grandma. I'm a genius. Too bad no one will hear this until it's too late. Call back to a minute ago. What was I saying? Yeah, what if? What if 10 years from now we're like, funny vaccines we're all worried about? After 9/11, we had the TSA, right? And I was a little too young to be politically inclined at that point. But maybe 5 years later, 10 years later, when did they come out with the body scanners? Everyone is so mad about these body scanners. They're like, invasion of privacy, they're looking at me nude, opt out 24/7, always opt out. I opted out all the time. In fact, the first time I did it, I took this video.
The first three times I just went through a metal detector, but today at the San Diego airport, they asked me to go through a body scanner. And even though other people had gone through the metal detector, I said, hey, I just prefer to go through the metal detector. And the guy said, okay, and then radioed on his thing, hey, we have an opt-out male, and then they pulled me aside. And I asked this guy that's scanning me right now, what's the purpose of this? Can't I just go through the metal detector? And he said, nope, it's closed, even though I'm 100% sure I saw people go through it.
This is back from when I was a real fat dork doing political things. November 29th, 2010, this video was posted. Me in my fat little shirt and my fat little pants getting patted down by a TSA officer when I thought, I'm opting out, right? I refuse the body scan and the vaccine. And now I go to an airport and they're like, go through this body scanner. I'm like, okay, I have not opted out for years. Am I a bad libertarian? Maybe. I don't know. Wow. So it's been a long time since we did any recording. What else did we miss? So Jeopardy hired a brand new host. It was Mike Richards, right? Was that his name? He was the executive producer of Jeopardy. He was like, all right, it is my job to find a new host. And then one day, apparently the guest host couldn't make it. So he's like, oh no, guys, the guest host can't make it. So it's going to be me. I'm going to be the host today. And then after the show, he was like, guys, I've determined that I did such a great job. I am the new permanent host of Jeopardy. After all of the people that had guest hosted, all of the fan feedback of who was their favorites, the guy that everyone hated and picked himself and said, I'm going to be the host of Jeopardy. The internet exploded. And then a couple days later, he's like, just kidding, I'm not going to be the host of Jeopardy. So the host of Jeopardy is still out there being looked for. And I don't understand why we have to have a search of famous people. Can't we just, what if we just had auditions? What if they just had auditions? I want random people. I want it to be American Idol style. Here's a random person. We found them. Yeah, they went through our screening process, right? To make sure that they're not an idiot. Because to get on American Idol, you obviously don't walk in the door and say, hi, Simon Cowell, I'm going to sing for you. No, you go through their screening process and the screeners decide, is this a horrible singer that we're going to put on the first episode to be funny, or is it a good singer, right? And so that's going to be the case for Jeopardy. They should have people that they screen and say, is this a horrible host or a good host? Or I would understand if they don't want to do the horrible host route, but they would go, here's a guy we found at an audition. He's the host of Jeopardy for this week. And then if we like him, we keep him. You know who else could be the host of Jeopardy? Steve from Blue's Clues left a message on the internet a couple days ago. I wake up, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and Steve from Blue's Clues is in my ear.
Hi. You got a second? Okay. You remember how when we were younger, we used to run around and hang out with Blue and find clues and talk to Mr. Salt, freak out about the mail and do all the fun stuff. And then one day I was like, oh, hey, guess what? Big news. I'm leaving. This is my brother, Joe. He's your new best friend. And then I
was a little too old for Blue's Clues when Steve left Blue's Clues. But I'm too old for a lot of things that I still do. Oh, yeah. Still watching Blue's Clues every day. Go, Blue, I see a clue. Or Steve, I see a clue. And then Steve goes, I'm going to college. And all of us as kids are like, Steve from Blue's Clues is leaving? And 25 years later, 20 years later, he comes and leaves a message. And everyone on the internet goes, wow, it's so nice of Steve to come out. Here's what he says at the end.
And I'm super glad we're still friends. Thanks for listening. You look great, by the way.
Steve from Blue's Clues says, we're still friends? That's what he decided. I didn't tell him I was still friends. He left me and got on that bus and drove away. And I never watched Blue's Clues again after that. Steve, he comes on and says, we're still friends. Anyway, someone's probably already said this, but Steve from Blue's Clues should be the new host of Jeopardy, because on Jeopardy, all of the challenges, all of the questions are called clues. And they're blue. So I am keeping my house out. I am keeping my eyes out for other rentals, right? Because I'm now a transient homeless person. I don't have a house. I'm renting this place month to month. And if I see another house that looks like this could be my next great adventure, I email the person. So I find this house on Craigslist. It's nearby. And it says all sorts of nice stuff. Look at this great house. It's a good price. You have a lot of yard you can hang out in. Because I did tour an apartment building. And it was a tour with a guy who really was convinced that I was not going to rent the place. And he said to us, well, here's the place. Here's the tour. Gotta go now. He was very funny and the least salesy type of showing of anything I've ever seen. And maybe it's due to the current housing market where, well, these things are in high demand, these houses, so what do I care? Anyway, toured an apartment building and kind of immediately felt like, yeah, I could live in an apartment building, but it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right having neighbors on all sides. And that's just how you live. Here, let's put humans in little cubes. And I suppose if we all want to be near popular things like Walmart and McDonald's, we do have to make big buildings where people can live in. And it's good. It's good that we have that. Man, I'm rambling way too much. So I see this house for rent, and I email the guy, and this is what I get back. I've never heard of this one before. Hello, glad to read from you. I appreciate your keen interest in wanting to rent my house. And by the way, this was a real house. This was a real house because I drove by it and I saw the house. Like, oh, I've seen that house. It's for rent. That's cool. So I email the guy, like, I'll rent your house. By the way, I'm super rich. I can pay you whatever you want. Just to let you know, before we move any further, my initial plan was to sell the house, but the agent was not honest with me. He cheated on the tenant by collecting higher rent from them and never delivered the money to me. The sale signboard will be removed from the house as soon as I get a tenant so that people will stop contacting the number on the signboard. I need a responsible person that can take very good care of it, as I am not particularly after the money, but rather getting a reputable, clean, neat, God-fearing tenant who will take care of my property just like his or her own. I am not dealing with the agents anymore. They are a bunch of bad people. This is why I am handling the rent myself. You deal with me directly. You do not need to contact any agent when you get by the house, because you do, they will tell you all sorts of rubbish and nonsense. That's paragraph one. My house is available for rent. These are all in capital letters for whatever reason. So you are free to decide on how long you intend occupying it. Rent already includes utilities. You can go by the house and let me know what you think of it and get back to me. The address of my house is blah, 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 blah. I am deaf. This is what, okay. Now I understand why he's yelling. Had my ear complications a couple months ago. I am a contractor and I have been transferred here for job on contract. I'm spending 1 to 2 years and I am planning to buy another house over here. Period, comma. I want you to know that you will not be able to view the inside of the house, as the keys are with me here. If you like the house, we can now move forward on how you get the key sent to you. I am ready to accept either monthly or upfront mode of payment, depending on the one you're most comfortable with. Utilities include blah, 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 blah. I feel like there should be a service that us Americans offer to foreign scammers to proofread their emails. Like, the people who are sending this email, and yes, I Googled it to be sure, the people who are sending this email have sent it so many times that there's forums that are verbatim this email. If you're going to send an email thousands and thousands of times, why would you not go on Fiverr.com, pay an American? I guess there's probably no Americans on Fiverr.com, but there's got to be someone you can pay $5 to $10. Hey, will you proofread, like, pretend you're a renter and proofread my email and let me know if this makes any sense? And I would say, no. Are you kidding me? Timothy E. Ledridge III Jr., which is who I get the email from. No, make this way shorter. Make it say, yeah, actually, I was going to sell it, but I'm planning to cancel the sale. I'm planning to not sell it. My situation has changed. I'm going to rent it, and it's going to be month to month, and I can take some money. I'm all set up to take money. Do you want to send me any? That would be the extent of the scammer having to write this. Are they so insane? Why would they think that adding all... As soon as I saw this, I was like, this is fake. I didn't even have to read it. As soon as I saw how much text was here, I knew it was a scam, which is so weird. Because I am at low risk for scams, but you know who isn't? The obese. That's why we need to protect them using the government. Anyway... Point is, I don't see why scammers don't just have this proof read. Can we start a scammer service where we go around and we look at your scam? We're like, you really could pull a lot more if you did. Like, how much? I'll do it for like 10% of the scam, however much money you get. Because I could clean this up in 5 minutes and get so much more money. Apparently, the scam is they look, I don't know, it's assuming it's a bot, goes to real estate listings, pulls the description of the real estate, pulls the photos, reposts on Craigslist, and says, contact me, I'm going to rent this house. And then this deaf guy writes and says, ah, silly me, I forgot that for sale sign, and also don't bother contacting the agent. Oh, dear. All right, again, I have a whole list of things to catch you guys up on that I've been doing, right? I've been on the lake, I've been living a life, been very rich, playing board games, you know, laying around doing nothing simultaneously. And in July, I told you last show, I started becoming a football official, right? It's never too late to chase your dreams. And by asking around, most people start becoming a football official in their 30s. Don't know why. That's just seems to be the time that a lot of people said, oh, that was me too. Now, it happens to be my trainer in the Football Officials Association has been doing it for like 20 years and he's 37, right? Something like that. Whatever. So in July, I start football official training. We go once a week. We read rules. We go over it. And this is something that I wondered if I could do for a long time. I've watched football since I was a child boy, right? Since 1995, I've watched football. And I learned all the rules, and I know all the nonsense about it. And then I'll watch the game, and I'll be like, he was in. He was definitely in. And then the ref will say, he was out. And then I'll say, you idiot. And then we'll go on the replay, and the replay will prove that I was wrong the whole time. And I'll be like, I should be an official. I should be a ref. But I just never looked into it. So I figured out how. Go to some meetings. Then you sign up for games. Like, don't you guys want to test me or anything? No, you're good. Oh, you got to just order a striped shirt, order some black pants, a whistle. You're good. Just sign up. Okay. So I sign up. My first scrimmage, they say the worst thing you can do as an official. My first scrimmage. The worst thing you can do is blow the whistle when the play's not dead, right? The ball wasn't incomplete, or someone fumbled, but you blew the whistle, or someone's running down the field free for a touchdown, and for whatever reason, you see a penalty and you throw your flag. You see a foul and you throw your flag and you blow your whistle, which in basketball, for example, when a foul occurs, you blow your whistle. The play is dead, like traveling, fouls, things like that. The ball stops. But in football, that's not the case. The play keeps going. So don't want to blow your whistle because of that. I'm like, I'm not going to blow. What kind of idiot would blow their whistle when the play's not over? So I'm running my first scrimmage. This kid runs up the side towards me. He's got the ball. See him get grabbed. He's getting tackled. Takes him a bit to get to the ground, but he falls and I blow my whistle. And then I look at the kid. He doesn't have the ball. Oh, I look like a real idiot. So in the act of getting tackled, he got stripped of the ball by the other team. And the other coach was like, why? Why did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm new. I'm practicing. But fortunately, again, it was a scrimmage. Then I get to my first game. And as I get there, they give me a check for $109. And I go, oh, my God. What? They just let me do this. I just show up in this striped shirt and they gave me money? I felt like Mike Birbiglia when he's sitting there in the front of the auditorium after his terrible comedy set. And the girl walks up to him and says, Mike, here's your payment for tonight. Thanks for coming. And he looks at it and he goes, I'm a professional comedian. I'm a professional comedian. I look at this check. I'm like, I'm a football official that gets paid to do this, they fell for it. They fell for it. So I'm going to post a link on the show notes of this episode. I'm going to post the video of me football officiating. It's an unlisted video, so no one can find it without going to the show. So newsandnick.com, click on the episode, and it's 21 minutes long, okay? It's supposed to be raw video of me just so I could review my own activities and see if I messed anything up. This team had like a kid that was like twice the size of anyone else, and they used him like you would use a custom player in Madden. Now, who hasn't gone into Madden and said, custom player, okay, as big as possible, as tall as possible, as strong as possible, all of the aspects, we're just gonna just, and then you give him the ball and you just watch as he runs through the computer players, and it's funny. It's the last play of the half. It's like third and 17 from their own 2-yard line, the black team here. And they've been running mostly regular plays, but on this play, they bring in the big kid and they line him up behind center. So he's just going to take the direct snap. There's not even a quarterback that's going to hand it off to him. They're just like, just stand behind the center. We're just going to hike it to you. They hike it to him. You can see him in the backfield here. He takes the direct snap. He runs up the middle, and he just runs the entire way. And there I am chasing him. I was running. I was like, I can't catch this kid. Holy crap. He's out sprinting me. Now, I've mostly kept up because for the most part, these officials, they're not on the younger side. So a lot of these officials are a little slow. So I can at least be proud to be, I'm likely the one of the fastest officials. So I got that going for me. I just am not good at anything else. At one point I stopped the game. I was like, I think it's halftime, guys. The clock operator said it was halftime. And the officials are like, it's not. We're timing it on our wrist, idiot. Saw this video. Columbus, Ohio. Keith Dalton and his crew of high school football officials said they were officiating a game between Grove City High School and Central Crossing when after the game they suddenly got locked inside the locker room. Well, that's why they call it the locker room, Trump.
Led to a referee crew being purposely locked inside a locker room. Good Friday evening to everybody, and thanks for joining us. Tonight at 11, I'm Kerry Charles. Colleen is off. Now, that game happened last Friday at Grove City. NBC4's Jonathan Jackson spoke with one of the referees who could not get out of that locker room. He joins us now. So, Jonathan, what's his next step?
Well, Keith Dalton tells me they filed a police report. He's one of the referees.
Boring. Skipping ahead.
Keith Dalton and his crew of high school football referees say they were officiating a game between Grove City and Central Crossing last Friday, when after the game, they suddenly got locked inside the Grove City school locker room.
We as a group have now filed charges against Grove City.
What? Dalton believes this action was taken against him and his crew for a controversial call made during the game, after which he says an assistant coach for Grove City came onto the field and was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Once the game ended, he says him and his crew were inside the locker room being evaluated on their performance when the door was barricaded from the outside with a vending machine.
And we had to push on the door, three of us, to at least get the door away so where we can get out.
These are athletes playing for the love of the game. Comments and action.
So, some fans were like, oh, these officials suck. Let's move this vending machine in front of the door. Guys, it's been day 5. We're still stuck in the locker room. We're going to start eating each other soon. Boring. Let's see, what is that? Okay, everyone's obsessed with this huge story that's come out. So let's see if we can figure out what's going on. Gabby Petito, her family makes a plea for information about the missing daughter. This is from 2 days ago, so lots happened since then.
Gabrielle Petito's laugh and her adventurous spirit would be hard to miss, says her father, Joseph. So when he watches this video of his daughter, who is
apparently it's not hard to miss because they're missing her and she's gone.
Mysteriously vanished, he breaks down.
It's a beautiful video. That's her dream, and she's living it. And it's awesome. And she's sharing it with a lot of people.
Skipping ahead.
Laurie on July 2nd. They say the couple took off in their Ford van, which they had converted into a camper. Now, according to her Instagram account, the couple made their way to Colorado and Utah. Her mom says on August 24th, Gabby FaceTimed with her. She was believed to be in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. The last text came 6 days later.
The first couple of days, I wasn't getting responses. I believe she was in a place with no service. It was like day 8 and 9 that I really became concerned.
Okay, Petito was traveling with her fiancé, Brian, I think it is. Brian Laundry? Ooh. In her white 2012 Ford Transit with Florida plates, according to police statement. The van was recovered on Sunday at the Northport home she shared with Brian and his parents. The statement said, Laundry reportedly returned to Northport on September 1st. We haven't been able to sleep or eat, and our lives are falling apart. Gabby's parents and step-parents said in Thursday's appeal to the Laundries, referring to her as their future daughter-in-law. We believe that you know the location of where Brian left Gabby. We beg you to tell us as a parent, how could you let us go through this pain and not help us? As a parent, how could you put Gabby's younger brothers and sisters through this? So it sounds like what happened is they go on a trip, right, in their van, and then Brian comes home, and everyone goes, where's Gabby? He's like, what? Where's Gabby? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Gabby, you left with her, and she's all over your Instagram, and you've been with her for 2 weeks, and you just came home without her? Where's Gabby? Basically what he said, right? Which is very suspicious, but in America, apparently it's not illegal. You can just be with a person for 2 weeks, know where they went, and then come home, and when they go, where's Gabby? You can go, now, everyone's mad at this guy, right? He wakes up every single day wondering if today's the day he's not going to be allowed to come to work. Just kidding. There's no way he's going to work, right? Which, by the way, how are these people paying for this? Is this girl rich enough from Instagram to just be funding her trip in a van? Because probably. So anyway. And why would you come home if you're Brian and something horrible happened? You just drive on home and like, hi, parents. Just letting you know I'm home. Nothing weird's going on. Nothing at all. I would at least say we had a fight. She left. I don't know what happened. Now, maybe that is what he said, but his lawyer is saying, don't say anything. Which, yeah, of course, the lawyer is going to say, don't say anything. So they're literally saying nothing, which is very strange. What a funny story. There could be breaking news on this right now, and I wouldn't even know it. So here's the latest, which I found up today, is that the guy is now reportedly, quote, missing, so to speak.
It takes another shocking turn overnight. Police now revealing they're also searching for her fiancé, who is a person of interest in the 22-year-old's disappearance. Eyewitness News reporter Marcus Solis live in our newsroom with what we know right now. Marcus.
And Mike, for the first time, police entered the Laundry home in Florida collecting evidence. The FBI only saying this is now a multiple missing persons investigation after Brian Laundry's family says they haven't seen him since Tuesday.
We have each other right now and we're keeping each other up, but we're still focused on what we need to do, and that's to find her. And we're determined to do that.
Day 7 in the search for Gabby Petito and still no sign of her. Gabby's stepfather reacting to the new developments as the attorney for the Laundry family says Brian's whereabouts are currently unknown and that the FBI is looking for both
Skipping
Gabby
ahead.
And Brian. Yesterday, Laundry's sister Cassie spoke exclusively with Good Morning America.
Wow.
All I want is for her to come home safe and sound and this to be just...
This is the murderer's sister. This is what she's saying. How could a murderer's sister say such a thing? He's definitely a murderer, 100%.
Be just a big misunderstanding.
We want to sort out this misunderstanding. There's a misunderstanding. Gabby's missing and Brian goes, pooh.
and this to be just a big misunderstanding.
This police body camera footage shows the couple just days before Gabby was last seen. Officers responded to a 911 call about an argument outside of a convenience store near Arches National Park in Utah. According to the police report, Petito slapped her boyfriend, but officers on the scene determined the dispute was more of a mental, emotional breakdown than domestic.
I didn't know about this. I did not know about this part. They were pulled over for fighting or something. Well, it looked like they were pulled over. Their van had cops come up to it. And they were talked to by cops for fighting. She should have been arrested. If she slapped a man, that's domestic battery.
Down, then domestic.
It looked typical of both of them. They, whenever they'd fight, they would take a little break and come back.
But they never returned home as a couple. Laundrie made it back to Florida September 1st with a van they took across the country, but without Gabby. She was last seen August 24th, checking out of a Salt Lake City hotel with Laundrie. Her mother says she spoke with Gabby the next day.
Intimate partners are often the first person law enforcement focuses their attention on. That's true. But it's also true that as of right now, she's just missing. Meaning, as of right now, they want to find her.
Gabby Petito's father pleading to both the public and Laundrie's family for answers.
If you associate with the Laundries, call them. If he knows anything, he should be telling them.
I haven't been able to talk to him. I've cooperated every way that I can. I wish I had information or I would give more. This is all I have is I gave to the police.
Well, last night, the lawyer for the Petito family issued a statement about...
All right, so we got this shocking turn. We're shocking Skidori, right? We're going to keep following it, and by the time I do another show, we'll be on to someone new, right? I wonder if this person... They're always found, right? There's never been a case where someone wasn't found. That's impossible. So it's been 7 days. Remember, I don't know, how long did Molly Tibbetts go on? That was the last one I remember that was a big deal. So we're going to see what Brian has to say. Here's a complete change of topic. If we want to go through the news. Do I have any other topics? Personal topics, I mean. This is essentially child pornography. An Ohio mayor asks the school board to resign over racy writing assignments. I'm going to give you a simple choice. Either you resign from this board or you will be charged. The mayor of Hudson, Ohio is calling for the resignation of the entire Board of Education after high school seniors were assigned a controversial book with writing assignments that asked them to describe sexual experience, to pretend they were a serial killer, and to describe the taste of beer. It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing what is essentially child pornography. I've spoken to a judge this evening. She's already confirmed that. I'm going to give you a simple choice. Blah, 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 blah. It's not clear what charges the board members could face. While we respect the mayor's position within the city of Hudson in accordance with the... Blah, blah, blah. All right, let's see if there's a video of this guy yelling, because this is going to be great.
Members of the board, my name is Craig Schubert. I'm the mayor of this city. It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom. I've spoken to a judge this evening. She's already confirmed that. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education or you will be charged. Thank you.
That is, it's not child pornography. All right, let's see what the assignment is. The assignment that sparked the mayor's strong reaction was a book titled 642 Things to Write About that was given to seniors taking a college credit course at Hudson High School. The book contains prompts as, write a sermon for your beloved preacher who has been caught in a sex scandal. Huh? Describe your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs. Choose how you will die. Write an X-rated Disney scenario. We know about those, right, everyone? Other prompts ask students to write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom and then rewrite a sex scene from above into one that you'd let your mom read. Also, write a sex scene involving your mom. What? I made that one up. It also asks students to drink a beer and write about the taste, and to list what television shows would be on their DVR if they were serial killers. Okay, that seems very dumb. You've just been caught in bed by a jealous spouse. How will you talk your way out of it? Describe a time when you wanted to orgasm but couldn't. Write 10 euphemisms for sex. Okay. You know, I'm kind of on the mayor's side on this one. You can't be telling high schoolers to write these things because you know that Tad Cummings is reading your writings. And Tad Cummings is like, wow, these are some very sexy things. What's your name? I don't even remember the girl's name. Tad, and I want to say Elizabeth, but I'm pretty sure Elizabeth Smart was a different person. I mean, I know that that was a different person. Elizabeth Thomas. I was right! Bong. Huh. Elizabeth Thomas was in the courtroom as her former teacher was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Anyway, Tad Cummings is going to be reading these writings from Elizabeth and being like, that's some good writing. I'm Tad Cummings. Oh, dear. Speaking of child porn, Josh Duggar news. I want to follow up. Wait, I got to keep up with this. I'm Googling Josh Duggar news every single day. My suggested things from Google are all messed up, but I'm used to that. Attorneys claim Josh's body parts were manipulated and posed for an unnecessary photo. Duggar News continues to capture all of the details of Josh Duggar's arrest. Is this a bot? Did a bot write this? The defense team is now requesting the photos of Josh taken during his arrest that are not presented during the trial, according to Insider. Oh, here, let's get the real source here. Sorry about this, folks. The former reality TV star Josh Duggar has asked a federal judge to prevent pictures of his hands and feet from being used against him during his upcoming child porn trial. Duggar's defense team filed a motion on Friday asking the judge to suppress the pictures, which were taken on April 29th after the arrest. It's unclear why federal agents took the photos. Duggar's lawyers included the photographs, which show the backs of Duggar's hands and his feet in black sneakers in their motion. His attorneys wrote in the motion that the pictures are taken from atypical angles and added that their client has been ordered to position his hands and feet in particular ways. They said that authorities hadn't obtained a warrant to photograph Duggar's body parts and argued other federal courts have required warrants for photos beyond simple mugshots. Okay, so they took photos of his hands. But if they took photos of his feet in shoes, how does that help? Duggar's attorneys allege that his rights were violated by these pictures, by the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment. All right. Got to get rid of these amendments. Can we just rewrite them to be more useful? None of the amendments are good anymore. Oh, I have a right to not incriminate myself. I'm innocent until proven guilty. I have a right to assemble unless there's a virus. I have a right. These constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights is useless. I'm sorry, Republicans. If you believed in it, you'd protect it. But you don't. Or something, right? I bet you a Republican would be like, yeah, our soldiers can be quartered in your house because it's for your safety. We're going to quarter soldiers in your house, even in a time of peace, in your house. Just because what if there is a war? You know, your right to not have a soldier quartered in your house is just not absolute. It's just, you know, emergency order by the governor says quarters are coming to your... Here's a new TikTok challenge. We love these. We love challenges because the news love challenges. And I love when the news loves challenges because they always overhype it. So let's find out what's going on. I haven't even watched any... I don't know anything about this other than the headline. Schools across the nation are expressing great concern after a new viral TikTok challenge shows students vandalizing school bathrooms and stealing items like soap, paper towel dispensers, even doors and toilets. The TikTok challenge known as Devious Lick. Wait a minute. The last challenge was licking things and then sticking them to my body. The TikTok challenge known as Devious Lick began on September 6th when a TikToker pulled a hand sanitizer from a backpack a month into school with the caption, "I just got this devious lick as if celebrating school with a steal." Am I dumb, or do kids just say things that don't make sense? Right? When I was a kid, we always said stuff and the parents were like, "Ha ha, the kid's slang. We don't know what's going on." And now I'm old. And now I'm old because I don't know what's going on. "I just got this devious lick as if celebrating school with a steal. The trend is mostly focused on students stealing random items out of their school bathroom and bragging about it in short clips on the social media platform." All right, let's see what Fox 11 has to say.
"Remember the ice bucket challenge? I mean, that was at least for good reason. This doesn't seem to be for any good reason other than this thrill of destroying your school property. And here at Hart High School, along with schools all over the nation, they're doing things like pouring soap all over the ground for kids to slip or stealing fire extinguishers. And unfortunately, that's only the beginning. It's called a devious lick, a TikTok trend wrecking havoc at high schools around the nation.
The trend began on..."
"This lick will never be topped. Only a month into school and got this absolute devious lick.
On September 6th, when a TikToker posted a video pulling a hand sanitizer dispenser from a backpack alongside the text, "Only a month into school and got this absolute devious lick," as if celebrating school's return with the steal.
A devious lick is slang for basically using illegal or frowned upon methods for personal gain, or in this case, internet clout. The focus has been on school bathrooms, with school officials across the country reporting students have stolen everything from toilets to soap dispensers.
"With highlights in this viral video, is mostly focused on students stealing random things out of their school bathroom and bragging about it in short clips on the social media platform.
I guess you get that adrenaline to steal stuff.
Like the soap and paper towel dispensers, these urinal screens, the bathroom mirror, stall door lock, stall door, I don't know how they snuck out with that, the guy's shoe in the next stall over, perhaps staged, and yes, even the toilet.
Seeing people just steal soap dispensers, hand sanitizer dispensers, I thought that was hilarious."
Okay. Wait, he thinks it's hilarious? But while students may find it funny, the schools don't. The viral challenge has caused some schools across the country to lock up certain bathroom items and instructed kids to wear clear backpacks. They think it's funny, but it's actually kind of stupid because most of them have gotten suspended. "They're also closing our bathroom, so it's kind of annoying that we can't use the restroom when we want to. The issue got so bad at Hart High School that the principal suspended several students and sent letters to parents asking them to talk to their children. Parents, please check your bathrooms. If you have an industrial-style toilet now that flushes super fast, it's probably not just something your kid bought you for Christmas. It's probably a devious lick. Don't want to have that around." All right, final story. We have to update everyone on the final update from the gold ticket, the Candyman. Remember when months ago Tom won the Candyman's treasure hunt from New Hampshire? We'd covered it on the show. We bought a ticket. Tom wins it. I have to call the Candyman. Then he's hunting me day in and day night, day night, day night, day in and night day, trying to call me. Like, "Hey, it's hey Candyman, you're cool," right? For a split second, we were famous for having found the golden ticket in New Hampshire. Then on Memorial Day, they released the last clue to try to find the candy factory, the one that we've all been waiting for, the prize that the media picked up the story in the first place for, that a man is giving away his candy factory if you find the golden ticket. So we log into my website, and the riddle: "Don't have a instant idea for a treasure diehard. We see witches nearby. Two stand guard. Go solve and search as low as our toe. Why find a nut? And walks are no foe. And then for 3 months, Tom read this riddle, searched every place on earth for it. Here's the news. Colorado man wins nationwide treasure hunt and a title for the Florida Candy Factory. The Candyman's treasure hunt led to a gold ticket found in Kokomo, Indiana. Andrew Moss has the ticket to the Gold Candy Factory. Just says to the Candy Factory. The Colorado man won a nationwide year-long treasure hunt solving riddles and clues leading to a park in Indiana. It was really only one riddle. The grand prize is ownership of Florida Candy Factory. So this is funny. This is from DenverPost.com. The news is writing about the thing that we all participated in and followed from the very moment it started. So let's see if we can read and pick up on clues that the internet, that the media doesn't actually know what they're saying. Moss, a 39-year-old husband and father of two, discovered a hidden small necklace with a golden ticket attached on August 29th in Highland Park in Kokomo, Indiana. The winning piece for the Candyman's treasure hunt had been beneath the park's Vermont-covered bridge for 3 months. The National Scavenger Hunt, which lured 35,000 contestants, was orchestrated by David Candyman Klein, owner of the Jelly Belly brand candies and the Candyman Kitchens. False, false, false! False! He is not the owner of Jelly Belly brand candies. This is a huge point that they bring up every time this is mentioned. The Candyman founded Jelly Belly. He stood behind a counter and served Jelly Bellies with a spoon to kids for $1 per bean or something like that. No. And then he sold the rights to it. And you guys can go watch his documentary on Netflix. Does this linked article also say he owns it? This says it was orchestrated by David Candyman Klein, who developed the world-famous Jelly Belly brand. Yeah. All right. So this is a good example of one source, because Denver Post actually links to their other source, which is like the Kokomo Tribune or whatever. And then they got it wrong. Based on a clue about a treasure diehard, Moss connected the hiding spot to Indiana Jones, he told the Tribune. Scanning a state map, he spotted Kokomo, and another clue tied to Beach Boys, the song Kokomo clicked. It was such a fun name, Kokomo, and I knew David was a fun, lighthearted person, Moss says. That doesn't make any sense. Moss followed more clues until he found the prize with it the ownership of a 4,000-square-foot candy factory. So at least the link here links him to Andrew Moss's Facebook post, which it does step him through what he did. So, for example, go search and solve as low as our toe. I assumed there was something with the SS being capitalized, as the G would be capitalized regardless, and I thought it might reference the giant sycamore stump just up the hill from the covered bridge. I walked up the hill and walked around the stump, saw the giant bowl that was also on display, looked around the Civil War cannon in the air, and there was absolutely nothing that was even close to looking like a medal in the picture. All the posts were square or round wood. I was trying to find something that was metal. By this point in the competition, by the way, they'd posted a photo of where the ticket was hidden, and it was next to like a metal post. I knew there were some other bridges down the path and thought it might be hidden further into the park, so I walked along the stream, but I didn't see anything that looked like the picture for where it was hidden. Blah, blah. I'm not going to read this guy's whole post, but you can find it if you want. Last year, he and his David Klein... Oh, sorry about this. Moss followed more clues until he found the prize. Blah, blah, blah. Moss, however, had no interest in moving his wife and family to Florida to run a candy factory. What? So he's taking the prize and throwing it right in the garbage. Instead, he's working with Klein on adjusting the prize for a cash value. Whatever it is, we'll be happy with it. It's money we didn't have, but the excitement and adventure was the real reward. The money is the gravy on top. Aww. So the winner of the candy factory is not actually going to move to Florida and run a candy factory. This has been News with Nick. On the website newswithnick.com, type in your phone number in the upper right corner and I'll try to send you a text. That's a feature that I'm going to need to make sure is still working because I think AWS threatened to shut it down for some reason. I don't know. I got to look into it. Everything will be fine. All right. Thanks for coming and see you in a little bit. Find me on Facebook or refereeing your local NFL Super Bowl, which will be soon because I'm on the fast track for that. All right. Okay. Bye.